Well, good morning, everyone. You probably wondered what in the world I was doing. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm on plan B this morning, and my plan A didn't work out. And that happens sometimes, you know, that's the way life is. And then I got all set up, and then a guy walked by with an Australian field shepherd or something, I don't know. And so I got into a dog conversation, and then, oh boy, you know how that goes. So here I am, and you wonder where I am? Well, I'm drinking Karuba coffee this morning. I love the creamers as much as the coffee at up there, you know, at Quick Trip. And I've been drinking Quick Trip coffee for so many years. When we lived in Minneapolis, I got kind of hooked on it. And I was so glad when they came to Moose Lake and in the area. But I love their cinnamon hazelnut creamer. And sometimes I think I have more creamer than coffee in my cup. But anyway, it's really good. Well, I'm at a location right now that I've been at before. And last time I was here, we had kind of a problem with wind and we didn't plan on that. And this morning is a beautiful morning, and I never know who I'm going to walk by and wonder what I'm doing. The guy just said to me, "Are you taking pictures?" And I said, "No, actually, but if you want to be a Fika friend, you can join me." He wasn't interested in being a Fika friend with me. But anyway, I'm in Moose Lake, and my plan where I was going to go didn't work out. And I'm going to tell you about it in a few minutes. But so glad that you're joining me, Fika friends, this morning. And just a word, this weekend in Barnum is Spring Days. And if you show up at the church, Barnum Community Church, on Saturday morning, we have our pancake breakfast. And then I think there's a parade after in town and all that stuff. And all the Barnum Days, Spring Days activities, kind of a fun small town thing to do. And so join us in Barnum and join us for pancakes. It's kind of the free will offering for the breakfast is going to Samaritan's Purse in the Ukraine. Some of you know that on Easter Sunday, we decided to do an offering, and that the whole offering on Easter Sunday morning was going to go to the Ukraine. And I got to tell you, we're so excited. We were able to send a check for almost $11,000, $11,000 for hospitals in the Ukraine to care for people that have been so, their lives have been so disrupted and they've been so injured. And so Saturday morning, the proceeds from the pancake breakfast are also going to go to hospital, field hospitals in Ukraine. So join us if you would. We would love to have you do that. And next week, you are going to be with me in a location that you never thought you'd be at. I'll just tell you that. That's where you're going to be next week, at a location you never thought you were going to be at. And it's a very biblical location. Yes, it is. And I think you're going to enjoy our time there next Wednesday morning. And then the following Wednesday morning, we're going to be in Kansas City. So we're kind of going to be hopping around now in the month of June. And then hopefully we'll be back local the last week of June, and then into July we can maybe do some kayaking, or we can get out on the water a little bit and look at the scriptures and see what it is that we might be thinking about as we're in these beautiful locations. So thanks for joining me this morning, and thanks for having a cup of coffee with me. I'm enjoying mine. As you probably gathered, I'm most holy Fika's. I really don't get to my coffee until we're done with Holy Fika. And then a lot of times I just hang around wherever I am and finish my coffee cup and enjoy that. But, so, where am I? Where am I today? Well, there's a whole flotilla of geese out there. Oh my goodness, and the little goslings are with them. Let's see, 15 adults and a whole bunch of little goslings. Well, I am in Moose Lake, and where I was going to go, I found out when I got there and started setting up that it was illegal for me to do what I was doing. So I said, no problem, I'll get out of here. And so I got out of there, and it makes sense why, if I would have thought about it, I probably should have realized that where I was not a good place to be. And so I'm back where we were a few weeks ago when I talked about Hart's Cafe. And so I'm at the fishing dock in Moose Lake, right in the heart of downtown Moose Lake, basically. And sitting right by the dock, so there may be people coming and fishing while we're talking today, and already a guy and his dog went by, a few bicycles have been gone by, a couple of kids on skateboards have gone by, some people walking, good healthy people, you know, and so I'm not sure who's going to show up and what's going to happen, but I want to talk to you about something that's in the background today. And that's where I want it to be, and some of you know exactly where it is, but in the background, you'll see if you look very carefully on the skyline of the shoreline on the backside of the lake, you'll see the kind of a roof of a building. It's kind of a domey looking roof. And what that is the correctional facility in Moose Lake. And I was gonna go up there today and film in front of the correctional facility. Well, when I got up there, you know, it says what you can't bring in, but it doesn't say cameras. And then as I was driving in, I did get a funny feeling because a lot of the people that are living there now with the correction, they were out walking around, and I realized, oh, I got to set my camera. I don't want anybody in the videoing this morning that's a prisoner there. And I don't think legally I could do that. Well, I set up away from that and then was told that I couldn't film from there. And that totally makes sense. But we were going to be up at the correctional facility, and we weren't going to talk about it from the standpoint of being a correctional facility. I wanted to visit with you about the historic building. You see, that building was the Moose Lake State Hospital. And many of you will remember years ago that's what it was. And there were no fences around it like there are now, and you know, the wire and the coils and the high security, of course, because it was a state hospital. And it was one of those places that when you were younger anyway, it was kind of a spooky place because locals would tell stories about the state hospital. Now, some of those stories were probably somewhat accurate because in those days, we treated mental illness and emotional illness differently than we treat it now. We used different words. We used words like the insane and the crazy and the mentally retarded, and we used words of description that weren't always the kindest and weren't always the most sensitive kind of words. And so the house on the hill in Moose Lake was spoken of often. Those of you listening to me right now, you know what I'm talking about. You know some of the stories. And treatments were different. And we locked people away. And that's just how it was. I mean, it was out of an ignorance. We didn't understand what we understand now. Probably our compassion level wasn't there. I get all that. But you know that was the reality. It was that house on the hill where crazy people were locked away and where insane things happened and stories of what would happen in full moons and treatments that were given, shock treatments and drug treatments. And it was just a place of, there was real sadness about that place and spookiness. And once in a while, I remember when I was a student at Barnum, so this would have been late 60s, 70s, that we were allowed to do a certain level of field trip. And I remember when we did our field trip, some of you that were in my class, maybe that watch you, remember when they brought us up to the state hospital to do a little walk around. And I'm sure it was a very deliberate and intentional where we could go and where we couldn't go. But that was even kind of spooky to me, I remember, because of all the stories that had gone before. But why would I be wanting to set up this morning at the old state hospital? I'll tell you why. Because one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about lately in my walk with Jesus and being a Christ follower is that as a Christ follower, the disciple of Jesus, one of the things that is of incredible encouragement to me is that God never abandons us. God doesn't abandon us. He really doesn't. There's another layer to today. Not only do I think of that old state hospital, and I'll tie it in a minute, but I was also the layer of being an only kid. Now, I was never abandoned by my parents. I have no idea what that feels like. In fact, they were far from that. They were attentive, they were loving, and all of that. But there were times, as an only kid, of loneliness. It wasn't so much the abandoned as the lonely. And sometimes those two run close together in how they feel. But when I think of the state hospital, there were many people that were abandoned there. They were abandoned. They were abandoned by their families, but even in a bigger way, many of them were abandoned by their friends, their neighbors, and the culture they lived in. It was not unusual to talk about people at the state hospital as being locked away. Locked away. It was also not unusual that people that were at the state hospital would never come home, that they were there for life. In fact, my understanding, and I wanted to verify it before this Holy Fika, but I believed, in fact, that the state hospital had its own cemetery up there. I think there's a cemetery there. And the cemetery was for persons that were residents, that were, quote, locked away, that had no family when they died, and they needed to be buried. So they were buried in that cemetery. This was a sad thing. Abandonment is a word that impacts people. There was a study done of Korean orphans that had been adopted in America right after the Korean War. And, you know, there were many, many, many Koreans that were adopted. And they realized at one point that there were some ensuing issues with some of these adopted children as they grew older, some behavioral things. And so someone at the University of Minnesota decided to do a study on that. And one of the things that they came to the conclusion was that this was the effects of being abandoned as babies in Korea. And that even though they had been adopted, that short period of abandonment and the abandonment at birth had impacted this future behavior that was being acted out. And so abandonment is something that is very, very frightening. It's something that is it's something that's impactful in a person's life. And when we talk about abandonment, it's probably something we would fear most. We don't like the idea of being alone. Many of you that may be listening right now maybe feel abandoned. It is not unusual that older people often will feel abandonment. Maybe some of you today that are listening and you're in a nursing care facility or an assisted living facility, and you may feel today that you have been abandoned by your family, by your friends, that you were taken someplace and in essence you were left there. And you're feeling today, even as you listen, you go, oh my goodness, he's talking to me. That's how I feel. You know, there's people all through our culture right now that feel abandoned. You can feel abandoned by parents. You can feel abandoned by other family members. You can feel abandoned by a culture, by a government, by a school. There's lots of things that can make you feel abandoned. And that's painful. That's a painful thing. And I think that is why the scripture speaks so directly to the matter of abandonment. Let me read you some portions of scripture that I think are helpful. In Psalm 27:10, the psalmist writes these words, "Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." And then from Psalm 37, verse 25, we read these words, I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. The righteous. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. What powerful words those are. There are many verses in Scripture that speak about being forsaken, about being left, and the idea that God does not forsake us. Let me kind of do a little bit of definition this morning on what the word forsaken means, because I did a little research on it. Forsake. To forsake someone, to feel forsaken, means to feel abandoned, deserted, renounced, or turned away from. When I think about forsaking someone, it gives me the impression of turning my back, or that someone there's a running away from them, or a never coming back. And so, if we take a definition of forsaking, and now we apply it to those two Bible verses, it's really powerful. It's really powerful, and I think it's really healing. Let me read those verses again, using the definition as we understand it now, maybe a little bit more fully, what the word forsaken means. Though my father and my mother abandon, desert, renounce, or turn away from me entirely, the Lord will receive me. Wow! That's incredible. That just puts another layer of depth. It takes us off the surface, and we can begin to feel some of the healing that God wants us to feel in this matter of being forsaken. And now He does not want us to feel forsaken. In fact, we'll go to the other verse. I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous. Now the word righteous there does not mean the holy, better than thou. It means righteous, those right with God. To be righteous is simply being right with God, okay? Being okay with God. So what the psalmist is saying, I was young, and now I'm old. So you're one of the two or you're in between, right? you're somewhere in there. I was young, and now I'm old. Yet, in my life experience, I have never seen those who are right with God abandoned, deserted, renounced, or turned away from entirely. Aren't those incredible words? So, look behind me. There was a state hospital where many felt abandoned. Many felt run away from. Many felt that they were deserted. They felt abandoned, okay? That's why I wanted to set up at this old state hospital today. Because to me, it is a picture of abandonment when I was growing up. It was a sad thing. It was a hurtful thing. It was a scary thing. And that's what abandonment is. But you know what? Today we've taken that away. Maybe the institution and the care has changed. But there are still people that feel abandoned. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you feel abandoned by a spouse, by your children, by your parents, by your family. Maybe you feel abandoned by friends. Maybe you feel abandoned in this town you live in. The church you go to. You feel abandoned. It's not fun. It's not fun. And so these scripture verses say to us, even though I was young and now I'm old, I have never seen the righteous abandoned. Those right with God. Now understanding it fully helps us to understand a little bit more. So let's take this word forsaking, this word abandonment, and let's put it, tie it with God's promise. Let's raise the bar of our understanding a little bit of what forsaking means and apply it to the promises of God. I think one of the greatest promises of the Bible, one of the greatest promises of the Bible, seriously, is found in Hebrews. And these are the words: never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Did you hear me this morning? Out of the book of Hebrews, the promise of God to Christ followers: never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Well, those words, when you tie them to what we celebrated last Sunday, that wonderful, wonderful day called Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, that was one of the purposes of the coming of the Holy Spirit, that we would never live in the abandonment of God, the forsaking of God, that in fact, more so than even being alongside us physically, as Jesus was with the disciples, now the scriptures say that when you are a Christ follower, the Holy Spirit indwells you. So wherever you go, He is with you. He is with you. I remember when I started dating in high school, my dad, you know, the talk that you get? My dad's talk was very simple. He said to me, "Just remember, Kenny, God is in the back seat with you." Oh, boy. To say that to a teenage boy starting to date, remember, God is in the back seat with you. That was a good reminder for another purpose. But it's true in the matters of when we feel abandoned by maybe the world that we're living in. We feel so abandoned. And then God said, "No, I'm going to send, when Jesus goes away, I will send the Holy Spirit, who will fill you and He will indwell you." In other words, the word indwell is the Greek word that means He will pitch His tent in you. When someone pitches their tent with you, now remember the context culturally where people would live in these large Bedouin tents out in the desert, they were moving. When it says that Jesus came and He dwelt among them, it means that He pitched His tent among them. And now we talk about the Holy Spirit, and the same word is used. The same word is used in the Bible. It says, now the Holy Spirit will dwell within you. He will pitch His tent in you. He will live in you. And so now when we think then of the word abandonment, it's pretty hard to be abandoned by God when He's dwelling within you. Are you following me today? It's really a pretty simple concept, but we never talk about it. We make it so distinct and complicated. And yet some of you are sitting there and you're feeling so abandoned. Many of you, when you've been in grief, you've felt abandoned because the person you love has died. That's why one of the emotions of grief is anger, because you get angry at the person that dies. I've done literally hundreds of funerals, and there are times when people who are grieving are angry at the person who died. How could they leave me? How could they leave me? What is that feeling? It is the feeling of abandonment, friends, that they have left me. And it stirs this deep, deep emotion. Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. God's plan for you is when you come to Christ, that the Holy Spirit, not only do you get the gift of eternal life, but you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which means He will dwell in you. That's how that gift is manifested. Can you get excited about that? Hey, can you say amen to that maybe? And you know what I love about this little thing we do on Wednesdays, Fika Friends? It doesn't make any difference if you never say amen in your church, because it's not your tradition. It doesn't make any difference if you're Lutheran, Covenant, or whatever you are. You can say amen at home right now. Say amen. I'm happy. So be it. May the Spirit of God dwell in me so that these abandonment feelings, this pain of abandonment, will not be in my life experience, because God in His Holy Spirit is dwelling in me. I get revved up about that. I get really revved up. I'm glad somebody's not walking by right now. They'd say, "What is that guy so excited about talking into his phone?" Well, they wouldn't know, but I'm talking about God's Holy Spirit who indwells you. So the idea of Hebrews is, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Now, let's add the definition to that promise. Never will I leave you, never will I abandon you, desert you, renounce you, or turn from you. Man, if that verse doesn't bring encouragement to you today, I don't know what more I can say to you. What more can I say than the Creator, all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God dwells in you at all times and never, ever leaves you or forsakes you. Friends, you are never abandoned by God. Wow. Wow. So there's another side to forsaking, though, that the scriptures talk about. There's a other side. There's a flip side to the coin. We've looked at God's attitude about forsaking, but the scriptures also talk about something else, about abandonment. The scriptures say that one of the issues that we have in our lives as humans, and being Jesus followers, Christ followers, is that we wrestle with abandoning God. Listen to these words from Judges. The Lord replied, "When the Egyptians and the Amorites and the Ammonites and the Philistines and the Sidonians and the Maonites oppress you, you cried out for me for help. Did I not save you? Did I not abandon you?" And then God continues and he says, "But you have forsaken me and you have served other gods. Go and cry out to your gods that you have chosen. Let them save you when you are in trouble." You see, the flip side of the coin is that we struggle with the abandoning of God. God is telling the Israelites, his people, that they have forsaken him. So we now have a little better understanding of the word forsaken. We see how it's tied to the promise of God from a divine standpoint. We see how the word abandonment fits in our experience as Christ followers. But there's something else I want to talk to you about. There's another place where forsaken is spoken of. That's a powerful place. Let me read some words for you that Jesus said. Some words that you've heard. Even those of you that maybe aren't real churchy, but maybe you show up at church on Good Friday. During Easter, you go to a Good Friday service, you go to an Easter service, and maybe you go to a Christmas service. I understand that a lot of people do that. You're maybe one of them. You're just happening to tune in this morning. Well, that's or this afternoon or tonight or whenever you're watching or listening to this. But the point being that Jesus understood the matter of forsaken. Do you remember when you would go to the Good Friday service? And you would wait for the pastor in reading the story of the crucifixion, read this verse. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani." You just waited for the pastor to say those words. And then we have the translation in the scripture text. My God, why have you forsaken me? Here we have Jesus crying out to the Father. Why have you abandoned me, God, on the cross? Saying, why have you abandoned me? Why would Jesus, the Son, say to God the Father, why have you abandoned me? Why would he say that? Had God abandoned him? Well, let me just reflect for a few minutes. We could spend a whole fika on this one and just talking about that verse, which if you ever want to have coffee and do it, we can do that. But let me just kind of summarize the whole thing. Remember that the scriptures tell us a couple of things about Jesus and the plan of God that we need to remember. First of all, that Jesus was fully human and fully divine. The Bible says that Jesus was acquainted with all our grief. Jesus understood our temptation. Jesus knows everything that you've ever experienced. He knows the feeling of it. He has a total human experience in his 33 years on planet Earth. And so, isn't it interesting that in the final moments of his humanity, he experiences the depth of the hardest of human emotions, abandonment. Yes, Jesus knows how you feel if you're feeling abandoned today. He knows. He cried out to God, as maybe you long to do even today. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you abandoned me? The fullest expression of human experience. Jesus knew the feeling of abandonment. The other thing about Jesus we need to understand is that the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians something about what was happening on the cross. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness or right with God. In that moment, he took on all of our failure, all of our disobedience to God, all of our sin. He took it on. And for a moment in accomplishing the purpose of God, in his son Jesus, he turns his head. I want to say to you that sometimes when we sense the abandonment of God, the God that you think is abandoning you in the crucifixion, in the pain, in bearing your cross, sometimes when you feel that, remember that the very same God that Jesus cried out to, "Why have you abandoned me in this mission?" That's the very same God that raised Jesus from the dead. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. So some of you that are maybe battling illness even today, and you wonder, why has God abandoned me? Why do I have this illness? Why do I have this deathly disease? Why is this happening to me? Has God abandoned me? Those of you that are maybe struggling financially right now, you go, why has God abandoned me? Let me tell you something. Based on the veracity, human experience in history, but more so than anything, the very promise of God, he has not abandoned you. He has not forsaken you. No, he has not. Jesus is our good example of that. So this morning, as we close, there's no question about the abandonment of God and the fact that he hasn't abandoned you. But there's one question that remains as a Christ follower. And you and I as Fika friends understand that. If you've come to faith in Christ, you're a brother and sister, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So we talk about these things. We need to encourage each other. And this morning, I just want to say to you that the issue of abandoning God is so subtle in our lives, sometimes we need to pause and say, where have I abandoned God? Because God spoke to the children of Israel about the abandonment, that they had fled him and that they were pursuing other gods. Well, sometimes we've abandoned God and forsake God in prayer. In prayer. It's the last thing we do, not the first thing. We try to do everything else and then we pray. We forsake prayer. We abandon prayer. Let me ask you today, in your circumstance in life, have you abandoned prayer in your life? Have you abandoned it? Have you forsaken it? Even though God says, bring it to me. Tell me these things. Bring the issues of your life to me. Bring the heaviness. Bring the burden. Have you abandoned doing that? When we abandon praying, that means we've quit talking to God. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. Another thing we can abandon is worship. Why do we forsake worshiping God in good times? In good times. I've noticed with people that often, hear me carefully, we're friends, right? We're Fika friends. We're coffee break buddies. We've been meeting for coffee for 3 years. I think I can ask you this. Why is it that circumstances control your worship? Why is it when things are going good, you tend to move away from worshiping God? But when things are bad, you come back to worship. Have you noticed that? I have. I've noticed that in people's lives. And I've noticed it personally. I mean, I may be in church every Sunday, but it doesn't mean I'm worshiping every Sunday. Did you hear that? Oh, what a confession. You see, you can go to church and not worship. Some of you, you come to church on Sunday and you sit there, but your head and heart are far from worship. You're thinking about the rest of Sunday afternoon and what you're going to do next week. You're not worshiping. And let's be honest. Come on, hey, can we be honest this morning? Can we really be honest with each other? You know that you've sat in the pew or the chair of your church. You've seen the communion thing happen. You've done the liturgy. You've sung the praise songs, but your heart is far from worship. You've abandoned worship. And why? Because things are going good. You're thinking about what you're going to do next. How the afternoon on the boat. You're about the fishing. About where you're going to eat. You're thinking about all these good things because things are good. But boy, when things crash, now all of a sudden God becomes more centered in our worship. We abandon God. And the reason for that is because our worship of God, hear me now, hear me carefully. Our worship of God is so often based on what he's done for us and not who he is. You see, we come and we worship him, and even our worship songs sometimes, as much as we love some of the worship songs, God is so good, he's so good to me. Hey, if God isn't good to you, you still worship him. Yo, boy, I said it to you. Did you hear me? You worship God because of who he is, not because of what he does for you. And so much of our worship life when we come to church, and I'm speaking to all of us. We worship him because we've won something, because we got promoted, because we're healthy. So we worship him because of what he's done. But God is looking for our worship, even when things don't go well. Because we worship him for who he is. We worship him for who he is. And so sometimes we abandon worship. There's some other things we can forsake God in. We forsake God in giving. He keeps giving to us, and we forsake giving to him. And I'm not talking money now. I'm not just talking money. I'm talking our time. I'm talking all that stuff. What do we give to him? He's given to us. We always talk about a gift exchange. Someone gives us a gift, we give them a gift. God gives us everything, we give him nothing. How does that work? We abandon God in our giving. We abandon God in discipleship. And what I mean by that, in following him, in pursuing him. The whole idea of building intimacy with him. God says, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to be part of your life. And we say, but I don't want to be part of your life, and I really don't want to know you. I don't want to follow you. I don't want to develop the disciplines in my life. I will abandon discipleship. So you see, friends, abandonment is an interesting word. When I look over there and I see there's somebody swimming out here right now. I turn around and I thought, did a fish just surface? And some guy swimming. Oh my. Anyway, when I turn around and I look at that state hospital, that old state hospital profile of the building, and I think of those that spent sometimes all of their whole life. They were admitted as children, as teens, young adults, because they were crazy. They were crazy, we said. They were insane. So let's tuck them away. The funny part is maybe some of them weren't really insane. Some of them weren't crazy. But they were abandoned. They lived in a locked room in that institution for years and years and years. Abandoned. It's a sad way to live. It's a sad way to live. And that's why God is so committed to wanting you to know, even today again, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Never will I abandon you. Call out to me. I will be there. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on me for salvation. And I will fill you with my Holy Spirit. For I will never, ever leave you. These are great words. These are great words for followers of Christ to know. I hope today that you're encouraged. You're encouraged by the promise of God that
the word abandonment as he looks at you is never meant to be your experience. Whether in a hospital bed, whether alone in an experience, never, never alone. Never alone, friends. Oh, sometimes the saints may not make it. Sometimes your pastor may not visit you the way you want him to visit you. Sometimes people that say you love you aren't there when you want them to be. But I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit never leaves you. He is there at all times. So it would be good to know him, wouldn't it? It would be good to understand the intimacy with him. I hope you know that you are never forsaken, as you are in Christ and the Holy Spirit in you. Well, what a great day. I hate to go back to the office, to be honest with you. I could sit here all day. I'd just like to talk to people as they go by. It'd be fun, wouldn't it? Well, anyway, thanks for joining me, Fika friends. Love you. For those of you that watch on Public Access TV, whatever time of day, I hope this has been encouraging to you. For those of you that are listening now and those of you that listen later on Facebook, boy, God has given us to each other. Isn't that a cool thing? God has given us to each other in this way. So thanks for joining me. I can see you. I love seeing some of the names. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for the words. Appreciate it. Hi, Bonnie. And a number of you. Hi, Audrey. There's a lot of you that are watching, and I see it. I can see it on my little screen as it comes up. I can't read what you're saying yet. I'll look at that later. But please talk back to me. I like that. And then I don't feel like I'm talking to myself. So it's good. Well, hopefully I'll see you at the pancake breakfast on Saturday morning, Barnum Community Church. Or maybe I'll see you on Sunday morning. That would be great. But wherever, on the street, in the market, be sure to say hi. Let's smile at each other. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's not abandon one another. Let's hang on. Well, blessings on you again.